Senator Porcabiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is our Senator Kubley.
Shall we pray? Creator God and Sustainer Spirit, today we'd like to say a word of thanks for your presence among us, Lord. We know that you are always with us, and yet we thank you for reminding us that we need to express appreciation for the gifts that you give, and so we thank you today for the cooperative spirit that seems to be in evidence here at this time. We know that you are with each one of us individually too, Lord. Help us to disagree without being disrespectful of those with whom we disagree in the same way that you have led us to enjoy liberty without license and nourishment without gluttony and freedom without licentiousness. We thank you anew today for the good gifts that you have given to each person here. May we use them to care for one another in the same way that you have come to care for us. In your strong name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Good message. Yep. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubley, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parasol, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Salzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Uyghur. A quorum is present.
Quorum is present. See, in a few short minutes under motions and resolutions, there will be a number of re-referrals, and the authors should make note of that and be on the floor because we're going to be moving a little fast here this morning. And so that's on page, it's under motions and resolutions. So look and see if you have one that's going to be re-referred and be prepared to stand up and explain. Senator?
Mr. President?
Senator Pogemiller?
Mr. President, the Minority Caucus would like to take a brief recess. And I'm asking you, a 10-minute recess, what time, should we just do that now, or should we go through a few of these items first?
Want to do it now? I will do it now. That's
okay,
fine.
Then, Mr. President, I'd move a 10-minute recess until 11:25. And I think the minority will go into your room upstairs.
Mr. President, thank you, Senator Pogemiller. Senate Republican Caucus members will meet in room 330.
And we'll meet in the retiring room, friends. So till 9:25, a recess. 11:25.
Is that a
motion? Did he make? Yeah.
I guess.
Call the Senate.
Senate is under call.
Will be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in absentee members.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. First order of business will be this morning will be messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file here with return, Senate file number 4, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. And Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted, House File Number 87, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Next order of business is first reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of House bills. Next order of business is reports of committees.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that committee reports printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On the Pogemiller motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There are three on today's printed agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we will take them as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now, there are a number of motions, like I indicated earlier, that referrals that the senators should be on your toes. Let me name the names. Seaman, Day, Boniff, Scheid, Boniff, Pappas, Erickson, Robes, Carlson, Coring, and Olsen. Senator Seaman, did you wish to re-refer Senate File 448 from Finance to the Committee on Education?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
And you've talked to everybody involved in this, all the chair people?
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay, on the Seaman motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Day, did you have a motion to re-refer Senate File 511 from Finance to Transportation? Was that your motion? On the Day motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Boniff, did you have a motion and a re-referral from Finance to the Committee on Education? Is that going to be your motion?
Yes, Senate File 589. That's my motion. I have talked to the chairs.
Okay. On the Boniff motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, yes, Senate File 602 is mine, and it should be going to education from Finance.
And just tell the body that you've talked to the chair people.
Mr. President, my staff did talk to people to make sure that was the correct
reference.
That's good
enough.
I don't want to lie.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Boniff, did you have another re-referral from Finance to Committee on Education? Senator Boniff, is that your motion?
Yes, it is. That's my motion. Thank
you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pappas, you have a re-referral also. Senate File 654 from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on Education. Is that your motion?
Okay. Yeah, Mr. President, it needs to be heard in the policy committee before it goes to finance.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Erickson Robes, did you have a motion to re-refer Senate File 663 from the Committee on Finance to Education?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I request Senate File 663 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and redirected to the Committee on Education.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Carlson, did you wish to re-refer Senate File 752 from Finance to Education Committee? Is that your motion? Senate File 752.
Mr. President, yes, that's the motion.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you've talked to the author, the chairs.
Yep.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Coring.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would so move that Senate File 784 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on Education. This is okayed by both chairs. They want to hear it in the Education Committee.
On the motion, Senator Coring. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Olsen.
Mr. President, I would like to have Senate File 829 withdrawn from Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on Education.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There are a number of resolutions on today's agenda. Without objection, they will be referred to the Rules Committee.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, under motions and resolutions, I'd move that we take up the calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. We have two bills on the Senate calendar today. Secretary will give Senate file 122 its third reading.
Senate file 122, a bill for an act relating to traffic regulations requiring passenger restraint for children under the age of 8 in motor vehicles.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 49 ayes and 17 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill on the calendar will be Senate file 463. Secretary will give Senate file 463 its third reading.
Senate file 463, a bill for an act relating to notaries public, increasing the maximum fees.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes and 7 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'm going to move that we take up,
okay.
Under motions, I'm going to move that we take up Senate Resolution 41, and then after that we would like to take up the first three confirmations, Commissioner of Commerce, Purpose Center, and Education today. We need to be done by noon, so hopefully we can process these items relatively quickly. So I'd move that Senate Resolution 41 be taken from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senate Resolution 41 came out of the Rules Committee unanimously. It's a simple affirmation of the per diem living expense maximum up to that the Rules Committee adopted a month or so ago. And, Mr. President, since this is about transparency, I'd like to impose a call to the Senate.
Senate's under call. I thought we had a call in. For the proceedings on this resolution, is it?
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogrebo.
Mr. President, I encourage members to vote green to just affirm what the Rules Committee had done. And since everybody has already collected per diem, I think that would be the most open and transparent thing to do. Acknowledge what you've already done.
Senator Pan, did you wish to?
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'd like to get a little bit more of a clarification from maybe the majority leader about this resolution and what it exactly does. First, is this a normal way that we deal with resolutions or votes of any kind, that the actions are dependent on how people vote, regardless of whether it's passed or not? Is this a typical way? I've been here for 4 years, never seen this kind of structure in any proposal. I just wonder if this is a new approach to how we're going to do legislation and whether it would apply to other kinds of legislation besides this one. And Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, maybe a majority.
Normally, these are done in the Rules Committee, but for Mr. transparency, President. Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Hahn, I think the Rules Committee tried to come up with something that brought transparency to the issue. That's what Senator Vandeveer was asking for, and I think this clearly does that. Didn't mean a pun there. Clearly brings transparency, but I think it does. And I encourage members to vote green.
Senator Hahn.
And Mr. President, I'm getting confused now when we're in and out of the committee of the whole, but Mr. President. And thank you, Senator Pogemiller. Just a clarification in Section 3 of your resolution, you say that a person who doesn't vote yes needs to then do something different than from the people who do vote yes, which is, I think, the usual part of this, to something I've never seen. And you talk about, or the resolution talks about, that they need to do a written request, which I guess raises in the mind of some of us, does that mean that this is a request that is approved or could be disapproved? And who is the person that would be judging the merits of the request? And what is that process? Could you talk about that a little bit?
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
No, Senator Hahn, there's no approval or disapproval. It's just telling the fiscal office that you do want to accept per diem. The green vote will designate that that's your designation that you want to accept it. And I think there could be some confusion in the Senate office if someone votes no as to whether they want per diem or not. And as you know, the situation is, and has always been, that a member can accept or not accept per diem up to the maximum. And so all that is simply a paperwork issue to make sure that members clarify with the Senate office, the fiscal office, what their intent is.
Senator Hahn.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I guess a question I would have as well for the majority leader is, if this resolution is voted down by the majority of this body, does that change the current rule that was passed under our rules? We have a rule, I think, that says the Rules Committee sets the per diem amount. So if this is voted down by this body, do we not need to suspend our rules to let this body then supersede the Rules Committee? I'm just asking the procedural question of whether we are doing something in contravention of our rules.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I haven't thought through all that, but I think clearly if the Senate votes down and says that the action of the Rules Committee was not appropriate, then I believe there would be no per diem paid.
Well, Senator Hahn. Mr. President, thank you, Senator Pogemiller. I guess my own concern about this is I've never seen anything like this where we take a vote and depending on how you vote, you do one thing or another thing. Typically, we vote, we let our votes be recorded, our constituents evaluate us based on the vote that we take. It seems a little odd that we're now going to start saying, maybe this would apply to other spending bills, that if we vote against it, our district doesn't get the spending that we voted against. I'm not sure how this applies, but I'm a little confused. I'm not sure I understand the logic of this or the intent of this beyond the fact that we should just vote. But I thank the majority leader for his answers.
Further discussion, Senator Parasol.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wonder if the majority leader, Senator Pogemiller, would yield to a question.
He will yield, Senator Pogemiller.
And the question is, this is the first time I've seen this sort of logic applied to a vote cast by this body or even by the House or any other body. All the legislation that we pass here, what if you had this same rule applied to every appropriation that meant something to everybody in the state? If your legislator doesn't vote for it, your district doesn't get it. If the person who represents your school district doesn't vote for it, your school district won't get it. That's just as logical. Could you explain to me why there's any difference?
Well, Mr. President, Senator, the Rules Committee, this is an internal matter to the Senate. It does not apply to a law. It doesn't apply to the House. So I don't think the comparison to general appropriations makes any sense at all. And this was unanimously supported in the Rules Committee. Senator Vandeveer, who was pressing this issue, supported in the Rules Committee. I think this is a compromise that gets Senator Vandeveer to where he wanted to get, full transparency on this issue. And I think we ought to just vote, and I encourage members to vote green.
Senator Neville.
Mr. President, I have the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the Neville A50 amendment.
Senator Neville moves to amend Senate Resolution Number 41 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert this is the A50 amendment.
Senator Neville on the amendment. Senator Neville.
Mr. President, is this on the computer system then so people can see it? I'd like to offer this this amendment as a substitute for what the Rules Committee sent here. What it would do is set the per diem at 96, respecting what the Rules Committee is recommending. We would get that as we normally do during the legislative session. However, during the interim, the only time we would collect per diem would be if we come for a meeting of a committee or a body to which we were appointed or before whom we appear. One of the things that, and I think that this provides reasonable transparency, one of the things that two things I'm concerned about. The first is that I really think paragraph 3 in the original amendment is disrespectful in the sense that it's almost at least an implied punishment for having the audacity to disagree. And I think people ought to have an opinion or a right to disagree without having to file something extra over anybody else. But secondly, one of the features of increasing the per diem this much is that, at least in the past, majority members get paid per diem, apparently just for coming to the office, and minority members don't. We come into the office to do work, constituent work, and other types of work often as well, and we don't get paid per diem for that. If there is a legitimate argument to be made for increasing our per diem from 66 to 96, at least for me, it's that we haven't had a raise since 1999. I kind of view this as a salary increase, one that we're probably deserving of. I'm prepared to accept $96 and explain that to my constituents, that the time commitment up here is substantial and that $96 is warranted. But frankly, members, we should all be treated the same. And so that's what this amendment does. If you're a committee chair and you call a hearing and everybody who's on that committee comes, then they all get per diem. That's consistent with current practice. But if you're just coming in to do general business, we should not be collecting per diem when we're not in session. So I'd ask for your support of this substitute resolution.
On the Neville amendment.
I'd like a roll call, Mr. President.
There will be a roll call. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Neville, I agree with many of the things you said with regards to the direct issue. And those were that was the discussion in the Rules Committee the first time we did this a month ago. But I think the issue that Senator Vandeveer has been pressing is the transparency issue. And I think the problem with your amendment is that it goes back to allowing this to be less than transparent, because someone could basically vote no and still collect the per diem. And I think I personally agree with Senator Vandeveer. I think everybody should take a vote on this. And I think that's maybe what surprised members a little bit. They thought, gee, we're going to do this the old way. And no, I personally think Senator Vandeveer was onto something on this transparency issue. And so I would encourage people to vote red on the Neville. I'm going to vote red on the Neville. And then vote green on the unanimous resolution that came out of the Rules Committee bipartisanly with the support of Senator Vandeveer.
We're on that amendment. Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of the Neville Amendment. It seems to me, as members of this Senate, we all have the same duty to represent approximately the same number of people, although I will tell you that statistically right now I represent more than anybody else here. My district has grown that much. Senator Neville, I believe, has offered a solution that we should all take a look at taking. I don't have any problem with voting on this resolution. I do believe, as Senator Neville stated, that there has not been a salary increase for a significant number of years, and it may well be time to do something. But whatever we do should be done equally and fairly for all members of the Senate, whether you serve in the minority or in the majority. And that means that we would accept the Neville Amendment, because we would all have the privilege of accepting the $96 per diem during the legislative session, whether you want to choose to take that per diem one day a week, 5 days a week, 6 or 7 days a week. That's an individual member's choice, but we all have that choice. However, Senator Neville's amendment levels the playing field in the interim. It says that no matter of which side of the aisle you sit on, no matter of whether you're in the majority or the minority, you still can collect the per diem during the interim if you are here for a duly called committee or task force that you serve on. But you don't get a per diem simply for showing up. It's fairly easy for our metropolitan members to come to the Capitol basically every day and in most cases get a per diem. We saw the per diem disparities. They were printed in the paper. However, there are a significant number of us that live quite a ways away, and we don't pop in here. So guess what, folks? Our office often becomes the local cafe. As Senator Rosen said, she meets a lot of people at Perkins. There's your Perkins plug. I meet a lot of people at K-Bob and a lot of other places like that. The rural members even have their constituents come into their homes to talk about things that are coming up and things that they're going to face in the committee the following year. So for the rural members, Senator Neville's amendment makes it fair, and it does for both sides of the aisle, whether you're in the majority or the minority or not. There are other disparities that I think at some time we should take a look at, but this amendment treats us all as senators on an even playing field, whether you live in International Falls or Leroy, Minnesota, and that's about as far ends of the state as you can get. And so I would encourage you to accept this amendment as being fair and just and moving forward onto the more important issues that we have to face this year.
Senator Parasol, did you?
Thank you, Mr. President. I was sort of waiting to see if we got response from across the aisle to Senator Wergen's comments, since almost everybody else's comments have engendered some response. At this time, I would like to offer to Senator Neville's amendment, A51, which amends his amendment.
Secretary will report the Parasol.
Senator Parasol moves to amend the Neville amendment to Senate Resolution 41 as follows, page 1, line 3. This is the A51 amendment.
Senator Parasol.
Mr. President and members, this amendment simply deletes the numbers 96 and inserts 66, which of course you all know is our current per diem. If 96 is offensive, and if somebody thinks 66 is offensive, I guess they could have declined to take it at 66 as well. But I do offer the amendment, and I hope that you will support it.
On the Parasol amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. We're back to the Neville amendment. There will be a roll call on the Neville amendment. Secretary will take the roll. You got more? We're under call, aren't we? Senate is under call. I believe all senators have voted. Senator Dill is asked to be excused from today's session. Secretary will close the roll. There being 18 ayes and 48 nays, the amendment is not adopted.
Mr. President.
Senator Hamm.
Mr. President, I have an amendment that I'd like to offer.
Secretary. What number is the...
I'm sorry, it's the A2 amendment.
A2?
Yeah, so, Mr. President, the A2 amendment.
Secretary will report the Hamm A2 amendment.
Senator Hamm moves to amend Senate Resolution 41 as follows, page 1, line 9. This is the A-2 amendment. Oh.
Senator Hamm.
Mr. President, I think Senator Neville made a good point about this resolution. He talked about Section 3 of this resolution as he used the term disrespectful. I think that is a good way to characterize this. It is not the practice of the Senate to say people are going to be treated differently on the basis of how they vote. I think I don't know what the intent is for this. It's being talked about as a way to make sure there's transparency, even though everyone can go and see how we vote, everyone can go and see how much per diem we claim, everyone can do these things, but we're saying we want transparency. So I thought in the spirit of transparency, my amendment would simply add to the people who vote yes that they be required to stand up on the Senate floor and take at least 10 minutes and explain to the public and to the rest of us why the increase, the 40% increase in per diem, is justified, so that for transparency's sake, we can all know why we think we need that increase in per diem, whatever the reason might be, so that we're all clear why we're doing this. In the same way that if we're going to do these requests to get per diem, if we vote no, I think that it's only fair that we explain why we're going to vote yes to the rest of the members of this body and to the public. And, Mr. President, I'd like a roll call vote on this amendment.
Further discussion on the Hamm amendment. Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Senator Pogemiller?
I move that those... we're just missing one?
Yes, that's correct. I think everybody's on the board. Secretary will close the roll. There being 5 ayes and 61 nays, the amendment is not adopted.
Mr. President?
Senator Michelle.
Mr. President, we're back on the main resolution, is that right?
That's correct.
Mr. President and members, I'm troubled by the substance, but particularly the timing of this action that we're going to take today. We can have the debate about compensation, legislative compensation. We should have that debate. And where that debate rightfully begins is in something called the Compensation Council. This is actually in our state law. We have a compensation council to assist the legislature in establishing the compensation of constitutional officers, members of the legislature, the Supreme Court, and judges. That's what it's there for. If we believe that we deserve more compensation, well, let's do it through the salary. Let's do it through the salary. As it is today, we make more in salary than 33 other states. That's according to the NCSL. So I think it's hard to say we're underpaid. Now, some people want to call per diem, well, that's a daily expense. That's for our expenses. Well, I don't know how we spend $96 on meals. That's a pretty healthy diet. And I'm not sure why senators get $20 more than our House colleagues. If we go downstairs and talk to Juanita today about lunch, it's going to be about $6. So 96 sounds pretty heavy. I think the timing is the timing of this discussion and the timing of this action is the most important issue for me personally. We're six weeks into the 85th legislative session. 6 weeks. You know, we've started to do some work. We've had a lot of committee hearings. I guess you could argue that Senator Anderson and Senator Solon have done the most work, at least in this body so far, with the renewable energy bill. But how many jobs do you know in Minnesota where you get a pay raise in the first month? In the first month of the job. Now, we might not be able to get to the point where we have performance pay for legislators, but I think we should be having this debate after we perform a little more. I think April or May would be much more appropriate, Mr. President, and I'd encourage a red vote.
Further discussion on the resolution. Secretary will...
Mr. President.
Senator Vandenberg.
I have the A52 amendment.
We'll report the Vandenberg A52 amendment.
Senator Vandenberg moves to amend Senate Resolution Number 41 as follows. Page 1. Senator, is this the A52 amendment? Is that the correct one?
I believe so. I'm looking at... yes. A52.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Vandenberg, did you want to discuss the...
Thank you, Mr. President. And I want to thank the Majority Leader for acquiescing to our request to bring this to the floor. I think that there's one issue with it, though, that we should correct so that we don't give the public the impression that there's any cynical intent here. On the part of any of us. So I'm looking at what the A52 amendment does, Mr. President, is it says that the member will request the amount of per diem they would like regardless of how they vote. And I would request a roll call on this, Mr. President.
Yeah, there will be a roll call. Any further discussion on the Vandenberg motion? Secretary will take the Senator Fischbach, excuse me.
Mr. President, I just wanted to comment that I think that as we've been talking about transparency the whole day, this brings true transparency. Every member is accountable for what they are going to do with a per diem to the public. And I think if we're looking for transparency, this is the amendment that's going to open that up to the public.
Further discussion, Secretary will take the roll on the Vandenberg motion. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 20 ayes and 46 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion, Senator Senja.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I want to rise today as we get near to the concluding of this particular debate to point out that I think, first and foremost, and I would say to the credit of Senator Vandenberg, Senator Vandenberg has opened up government in the sense that today we're going to be talking about and, in fact, voting on this per diem increase. In the open air, all of us, total participation, and I think that's important. I and many of the other people in this group did it as local government officials. I believe Congress presses their buttons or turns their keys when they adjust their compensation. And we're going to do that today, all of us, according to what we think about this particular resolution and this particular amount. But I think the strength of our debate today and the strength of this action is the fact that Senator Vanderveer has brought to this floor vote, and we're going to proceed with it. So I congratulate him for doing that. I think it is a victory for transparency, and I think it is good that we all participate and in this vote and cast it in the open air, all of us together, one way or another, according to what we think.
Senator Fischbach, did you have a...
Mr. President, I have the A3 amendment.
What's the number again?
A3, Mr. President.
Secretary will report the Fischbach A3 amendment.
Senator Fischbach moves to amend Senate Resolution 41 as follows, page 1, line 11. This is the A-3 amendment.
Senator Fischbach on the amendment.
Mr. President, the A3 amendment is pretty simple, and what it does is in the portion of the resolution that talks about a written request, it changes the language to a statement as opposed to a request, because a request implies that there would be someone who would give you permission to do this. And I think if we've gone through this, the member votes no, and they're going to put something into the fiscal services, I think that a statement is sufficient, and request certainly does imply that someone would have the ability to grant permission, and I think this actually cleans the language up a bit.
Discussion on the Fischbach amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Further discussion, Senator Flimmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Pogemiller yield for a question? Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogemiller, tell me how this works. This is a Senate resolution, but earlier we had a committee action on the part of the Senate Rules Committee that designated a pay increase. If this resolution would fail today, does that stay in effect, that pay increase that was decided by the Senate Rules Committee?
Senator Limmer, I thought we covered this ground earlier. Perhaps you were not in the chamber. This simply ratifies the work of the Rules Committee. And I personally, if this resolution went down, I would take that as a sentiment by the Senate that there should be no per diem.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you, Senator Pogemiller. Republicans earlier this session asked for a little more openness and transparency in government, especially regarding our own compensation and pay, and we'd like to thank you and the members of your caucus to agree to making sure that this decision is publicly done and that all of us have on record the opportunity to make sure that the public follows carefully how we do our business in the Senate. I want to thank you for that.
Further discussion on the resolution, Senator Day.
Mr. President, and to the Majority Leader, does this mean that if I make a request that you approve whether or not I get per diem?
No. I think, Mr. President,
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Day, we covered this earlier. No, this is simply paperwork to the office so that they know that if you voted no on the floor, then they need to know that you actually want per diem.
Okay.
So I have no role in this.
Because I thought after, Mr. President and Senator Pogemiller, I thought after we voted down the Fischbach amendment that, because she was just saying that we would send a statement over to the fiscal office, and we voted that down. So I'm just kind of wondering where are we at then? How does this work?
Mr. President, Senator Day, a green vote will indicate to the Senate office that you want to collect per diem. A red vote will be unclear to the Senate office. Therefore, you need to send them a note, a request, saying, here's what I want to be paid.
Fair enough. Okay. But now I'll get to my basic.
Senator Day, just to be clear, and if you don't vote, that's recognized as not as a no vote.
Yeah.
So this really,
I'm going to explain what I'm going to do now, and then I'll have to figure it out for myself, and everybody else can figure out their own. When we ran for office in November, we knew exactly what the salary was. We knew exactly what our per diem was. We get here, and instantly, we all give ourselves a raise. My goodness, think about this. We're sending the wrong message to Minnesotans. I'm hopeful that I can get my back to $66 because I don't plan on taking $96. So, but I just wanted to make sure that if I send them a note, I can at least go back to the $66 when I ran for office. That's what it was, and that's what I want to take. And think of this. It behooves us all to think about this a little bit. We run for office. We know what we're going to make. We instantly get here, and before we pass any bills, we do anything, we all give ourselves a raise. And Senator Pogemiller, if this is what the DFL thinks that the Minnesotans want, I think you're missing something, because I don't think they all expected that as soon as we got here, after going through the last elections, that we would all vote ourselves in a raise.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Day, you certainly can do what you suggested. I think you'll have to refund some of the 96 you already took, but that's okay. That can take place. And I just want to remind members that this was bipartisan in the Senate Rules Committee twice, unanimous twice, and I just think we ought to move on here. This lets everybody know whatever they need to know about who's taking per diem and how much they're taking.
Senator Date.
Mr. President and everybody, my colleagues here, please know that when I went to my little car race in Florida, I informed fiscal that I was not taking per diem, as Senator Pogemiller is now just, you know, throwing out a little snide remark, but that's all right. I've been used to that over the years. But just remember, they didn't send us here to raise our salary the first few weeks we're here.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think there's some other things that the public expected from us this session as well. And that's why I'm particularly disappointed in this whole escapade. The statutes give the responsibility for setting compensation, for per diem, I should say, to the Senate, for the members of the Senate, and to the House, for the members of the House of Representatives. Now, somewhere along the way, these bodies have given that responsibility to the Rules Committee. Senator Vandeveer made a very legitimate request. The statute says the Senate sets it. Why would we not bring this to a vote of the Senate? That's all he was asking for. In the last Rules Committee, in order to do that, we had to accept something that I think I would hope for even members of the majority would find unacceptable. This is not the kind of action that contributes to our respect for one another, our ability to get along and work together, that I believe the people really spoke to in this last election. And I'm deeply saddened, and as you can tell, I can get emotional about it as well. There are reasons people might want to vote against this amendment. It may be because of the level of per diem. Some of us believe we can be accountable for that to our voters. There are others who would like to vote against us just because of this process that's meant to demean, not to make transparent. There is no member of the public that can't find out how much each of us are taking in per diem. It's published in the paper. We are being watched. So I am deeply saddened by the disrespect and the treatment that the majority leader has decided that we must all take right now. And if I saw an all red vote up here, to me, it has nothing to do with the level of per diem. It has more to do with the treatment that is attempted by this measure.
Further discussion. The question.
Mr. President.
Senator Vandeveer.
Mr. President, I hate to belabor this point, but I'm a little concerned with the majority leader's interpretation of the result of whether this resolution passes or fails. Our council is pretty emphatic that since the resolution does not undo what the Rules Committee did, that means that if this resolution passes, the per diem will go to $96, but if the resolution fails, the per diem will go to $96. And if that, I know that the majority leader has given us his opinion, however, the body is not undoing with this resolution what the committee did. And in my limited experience, I would be quite surprised if lack of action by this body would undo what a committee has ratified. So I just want to be clear so that the public doesn't really get outraged. And I think they might if this were to be just a what the result of what we did here today changed nothing. So I just hope that we're very clear on that. And the majority leader, I know, has a lot of power, but I'm not sure that the majority leader can undo a Rules Committee decision or void a state law. So maybe if we could just have the assurance of this, that what we do here today makes a difference, Mr. President, I would be very grateful. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Parasol.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just make one final comment, and I promise not to say any more about this issue after this comment. There are 3 points I would like to make. Early in Senator Pogemiller's comments, he mentioned that as response to somebody who asked a question, I cannot repeat exactly, but his response was that by your vote you will let me know your intention. And after that, we talked, we had questions that were asked and answered. Is somebody going to approve or disapprove this? That comment made it sound like Senator Pogemiller would have the power to approve or disapprove. And I question whether we've ever had a vote before this body before, and I've only been here 18 years, so I don't have a lot of history. Why fiscal office can take its cue from the vote on the floor, and when that power, how does that power transfer then from this body into the fiscal office for everything we will do heretofore? Whether we decide today we may take per diem or tomorrow say we won't and then we'll change our mind. So how does fiscal get their cue from the vote on the floor without a transfer of some true process? And I'm also wondering why this has changed the policies that are outlined in our rules. Our parliamentary rules are Masons, but I don't think that either Roberts or Masons or any other parliamentary model approves of this kind of action, because everybody has their say, and that's the point of parliamentary procedure all over the world. I don't care which model you take. Everybody has a chance to have their say. That doesn't mean, and that means you don't either bind people to the action or you punish them through the action. So I think there are many points at which this is a very terrible policy.
Further discussion,
Mr. President.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I also, I know that we heard a lot in the campaign and during the time before that there was a lot of bickering and partisan and things going on in the legislature, and we had to quit doing that. And I think the spirit of this resolution does great damage to that intention. And I think the majority party, who campaigned greatly on the need for better relationships among the members of this body, is doing that effort a great disservice. And I think that there are many reasons why members may want to change per diem or do it a different way. Senator Neville had an idea. There's other ways that we could do this. There is even an argument, I would say, that suggests we ought to have more in per diem, or maybe as Senator Michelle has stated, maybe we need to do some things with our compensation. But in the future, when we do this, if we ever have a vote on compensation, we're going to say, well, those who vote against it have to not get compensated. unless they write a special request? Or what about housing allowance? If we vote on that, and people who don't vote for it, well, I guess they don't get it. I think this is a strange and peculiar process that is intended to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to be disrespectful of the members of this body. And so if for no other reason, I would urge everybody to say no to this. This is not how we should be doing business. Thank you.
The question reappears that the Pogemiller's resolution be adopted. The Secretary will take the roll. The Senate is under call. The only excused member will be Senator Dill from today's proceedings. Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes and 7 nays, the resolution is adopted. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, then let's take up these three confirmations. They should go fairly quickly. I would yield to Senator...
Scheid. We're on the confirmation calendar for the day. Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the report from the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection reported January 18, 2007, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On the Scheid motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Scheid.
Mr. President and members, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection reported January 18, 2007, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Department of Commerce Commissioner Glenn Wilson for a term expiring on January 3, 2011.
Any further comments?
Mr. President, if I may, 4 years ago, the Minnesota Senate, upon the recommendation of then Commerce...
Excuse me, Senator Scheid, let's listen to this confirmation report. Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, thank you. Members, 4 years ago, the Senate, upon the recommendation of the then Commerce and Utilities Committee, confirmed the appointment of Glenn Wilson as Commissioner of Commerce. Under Commissioner Wilson's leadership, the department has increased its efforts in consumer protection. They've had a steady increase in enforcement actions and penalties each of the last 4 years. Commissioner Wilson also has overseen the development, the installation, if you will, of the insurance fraud unit, which was legislation passed by this body several years ago. He's focused on bringing efficiencies into the department. On the national level, he has taken several leadership roles with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. He was elected treasurer of the Interstate Insurance Product Regulation Committee, which this body passed last spring with some controversy. But I'm so glad that Minnesota's in on the ground floor of that and that he has taken such an active role. And he has served on a national panel discussing the issue of suitability of mortgage products. Prior to his appointment as Commerce Commissioner, Glenn Wilson was the first Vice President of U.S. Bank, home mortgage, and his special focus there was with affordable housing. Before that, he was a CEO and chairman of Knutson Mortgage for more than 10 years. Commissioner Wilson has done what maybe too few people do, and that is to take a very successful career in the private sector, and as he neared retirement, be willing to step up and serve the public as commissioner of our Department of Commerce. And it's been an incredibly exciting time for the department. Do you understand that? Do you realize that we license almost 250,000 people in this state in terms of just insurance, real estate, and securities professions? Unbelievable. And they have gone to an electronic system. He's overseeing the department at a very important time with new technology, and I think we are well served by his serving us as Commissioner of Commerce. I urge your support for the committee's recommendation.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Scheid renews her motion to confirm the Commerce Commissioner Glenn Wilson. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Uyghur.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on Education reported January 22, 2007, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Uyghur.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Uyghur.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education reported January 22, 2007, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Ardith Gallant to the Board of the Purpich Center for Arts Education and Alice Segren, Department of Education Commissioner.
Discussion on the appointment?
Yes, Mr. President, the Purpich Center for the Arts, as you know, is in Golden Valley. It has a 15-member board that is appointed by the governor. It has a 11th and 12th grade, about 310 students, and also is a great resource to the state on arts programs for students and educators and the public. For Commissioner Segren, as you know, she started her service in 2004. Prior to that was six terms in the House of Representatives and earlier served on a school board. She has broad-based support, though there are a number of challenges in implementing and getting changes to the No Child Left Behind, and we have confidence that we can work out some differences, and with that, would urge your support.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Uyghur renews his motion to confirm the member on the Purpich Center and Commissioner Segren for the Department of Education Commissioner. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Did we do two at once? Was that okay? Can we do two at once?
Yeah. Unless somebody has
somebody. Next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. On page one, Senate file 1053 will be referred to the Judiciary Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Got announcements of Senate interests. Senator.
Mr. President.
Huh? Senator Langseth.
The Capital Investment Committee will be meeting immediately in 123. Get there right away. We're supposed to be out of there in 10 minutes. But we got three bills that we have to deal with. So come right away.
Further announcement, Senator Saltzman.
Yes. The Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee will be meeting in a half an hour, and I want to remind members of that committee that we will be in room 318 today. That's room 318 on the third floor in the East Wing. Thank you.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, members of the State Government Budget Division, we will be meeting in one half hour.
Actually, we meet about 110. 110 for the State Government Budget Division.
Senator Pappas.
Members, I just wanted to let you all know that the region selection process is underway, and the Joint Committee is meeting next Tuesday evening. And if any of you have any concerns or questions or issues with the process and the candidates, please come and talk to me.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, the Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee will meet at 1:06 p.m.
Mr. President. Without objection, Senator Dill will be excused from today's session all day, and Senator Ortman from 12:30 on. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do adjourn till February 22nd, Thursday, February 22nd, that's tomorrow, 11 a.m.
On the Pogemiller motion to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.